Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Randy Toflin. I'm filling in for Pastor Jim this morning. He's at the Synod Conference in Brainerd, or I think they're Brainerd, with Wally and Bev Swenson. So keep the Swensons and Pastor Jim in your prayers this morning. Great to see such a full church this morning on a big day for our church. Reminder that immediately following the service, we'll hold the congregational meeting that will be talking about the work on our parking lot this summer, as well as a little sneak preview into some thoughts about the parsonage as well. So for the members and associate members, for sure, if you would please stay so we can vote on that following the meeting. All are welcome. Visitors, if you're interested in hearing more about the church, you're certainly welcome to stay. Members, we certainly would like to have you stay. We're going to hold it right here in the sanctuary so we can do it as quick as possible and get out on this beautiful day. The other big part of today is the welcome back to our choir. I want to say a special thank you to Sheila Penoyer, who has so graciously again agreed to lead the choir for the full year this year. So, Sheila, thank you. We're pleased to have you back. And then when I was thinking this morning about this, all these big events we've got in today on May 1st and May Day, it occurred to me, whatever happened to May Day? When I was a kid, I grew up in a small town in North Dakota, and it had a disproportionate amount of really cute girls. They were all a little older than I was. And all you had to do was take some candy and put it in a brown sack and knock on a door and run slower than you could, and you could get a kiss from these cute girls. And I can't figure out whatever happened to May Day, because as a boy, a young boy, it was like, this is a deal. My parents would buy the candy, and I got to go to, it was, I don't know, whatever happened to May Day. And then lastly, for those of you that know Lorena and I a little bit, you may recognize we have some of our family here today that came in. So if you recognize my family, you may have thought, wow, Randy's giving the service. He must have something profound that his family, it's not that. It was dock weekend, so this is labor that came to put dock and boat lifts in. But so don't get your hopes up on anything for this morning. Enough of that. Maybe we should look at the serious stuff. So turning to announcements, an announcement that's not in your bulletin. Committees need to get their budgets to stewardship by June 10th. So amazingly enough, we're getting close to our fiscal year already, which the stewardship committee puts a lot of work into this. So committee leads, please put them into the stewardship box again by June 10th. And if you have questions, please see Pat Becker. The bulletin on the back, I'd encourage you to read all of it, but it's full of some real big events. We're moving into the busy time of our year for the church, our late spring and early summer, where we get busy with many events, and you see that in our bulletin this morning. Just a couple that I'll point out. Please read through all of them. The jelly making is scheduled for a May 9th big event for the church that the women do such a great, it's a big fundraiser. I know that they would welcome all the helping hands they could get for that. The highway cleanup is the next day on Tuesday, May 10th. Meeting here at the church at 10 a.m. Bethesda Church takes care of a stretch of the ditches here on 47. This is something that Jerry Morris has led for several years, so let's pitch in and help Jerry again. It goes quick. We did a different event last year in Helping Hands over on the North Shore, and we can make it fun, but the more people that are there, the quicker this goes. So again, May 10th. And then two things I want to point out on the more creative side, new opportunities to get involved. First, as you see in the area of decor for the church, we do a lot of great things. We've got bulletin boards that are informative. I think the purpose of this is to step back from it and say, what was the purpose that started this in the first place, and is how we're doing it today fit or meet that purpose, or is there a new way to possibly do that? We've got great leaders that take care of those things. Melody Lackner is going to take a role of kind of pulling groups together and asking the questions on, is there a better way to communicate perhaps, or do we keep things as they are? And then similarly, on this Tell the Story, this church reporter, this one's a little close to my heart. This church does you know, whether it be the jelly making or the veggie stand or the jamboree, whatever it is, we have terrific events that we have the benefit of worshiping here and then participating in. But many in the community aren't aware of it. And we're pretty sure the more we can tell that story, the more the folks in the community may say, you know, that church is always doing some fun stuff. I should go take a look at that. So if you are kind of an inquisitive person or enjoy writing, whatever it may be, there's been some groundwork that's done as to how to get some of these things better published in our paper for free. We just have to tell the story and it'll show up in the paper. So think and pray about that, if you would, about a better way to tell our story. And then lastly, the very last one here, the Thrivent message. We have some members, I believe, that are Thrivent people, whether you use the insurance side or you use the financial planning side. Thrivent has a program that if our members in the church that are Thrivent members just fill out a little form, we get $250 sponsorship from Thrivent for these events, which goes a long way in our church. So if you're a Thrivent member, please talk to the church office. They know more about this program. So I think that was the extent of the announcements I wanted to point out. Again, read through all of them. With that, let's open with a word of prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning. We thank you that our sanctuary is full and filled with those that have come to worship you, come to find out more about this place, this church that we have the freedom to worship you in. We pray for Pastor Jim and Bev and Wally this morning as they finish up their synod conference and pray that they come away enriched with new thoughts that they've had from the synod. Lord, we just ask that you send your Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to you this morning. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open with our opening hymn number 783, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God, in the blue hymnals. Yep. Marlis wanted to point out all the hymns are in the blue hymnals this morning. Please rise. Please turn to the Confession and Forgiveness on page 2 of your bulletin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation. Amen. Amen. Let us come into the light, the revealing and healing light of God. Let us come before God seeking forgiveness and life. Please take a moment for silent prayer. God of grace and glory, you have brought us through the night of sin into the light of Jesus' resurrection. Let our lives are still shadowed by sin. Make us alive in Christ, O God. Make us new as you make all things new. Rescue us from evil and the gloom of sin. Renew us in grace and restore us to living in your holiness. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Rejoice with all creation around God's throne. The light of the risen Christ puts to flight all evil deeds, washes away sin, restores innocence to the fallen, casts out hate, brings peace, and humbles earthly pride. Jesus Christ loves you and frees you from your sins by his blood. To him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Please join me in the prayer of the day on the top of page 3. Bountiful God, you gather your people into your realm, and you promise us food from your tree of life. Nourish us with your word, that empowered by your Spirit, we may love one another and the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as our choir sings our first song of the year.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. Wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. Rest. beyond the river.
Very nice. Thank you. The first reading today is found in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. A vision compels Paul to move his ministry into Greece, and there he meets Lydia, an important person in the business community, whose heart has been opened by God to receive the gospel. Her conversion and baptism provide the impetus for the founding of the Church of Philippi. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate of the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira, and a dealer in purple cloth. And the Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. Here ends the first reading. The psalm for today is Psalm 67, and where you see the bold R, please repeat the refrain, "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy." May God be merciful to us and bless us. May the light of God's face shine upon us. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Bring judge the peoples that have been, and guide all the nations on earth. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
Let the nations praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. May God give us blessings, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
Here ends gospel. Please stand.
Today's gospel is from John 14, verses 23 through 29. As Jesus talks of returning to the Father, he promises to send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will teach Jesus' followers and remind them of all that Jesus taught. Even more, those in whom God makes a home will experience a peace that overcomes fear. Jesus answered, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, number 748, Bind Us Together. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes I wonder if every once in a while the disciples didn't get incredibly frustrated with Jesus. An example of this would be today's gospel reading. At this point in the story, it's Maundy Thursday, the eve of the crucifixion, and Jesus has just told the disciples that he's leaving and they can't follow him. Then he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." I'm guessing that the disciples' reaction was something like, "What?" But a bit of context further here. It's the night of the Last Supper. Jesus has just spoken of his impending death. He tells the disciples that one of them will betray him and urges Judas to go and do quickly what he plans to do. Peter boldly claims that he would rather die than deny his Lord, but Jesus knows that before the rooster crows, he will say three times that he does not know this man they're talking about. Jesus talks about going where they cannot follow, and they're confused about this. Haven't they followed Jesus everywhere for the last 3 years? They've watched him heal the sick. They've seen him bring comfort to the afflicted. Not a day has gone past where Jesus has not been with them. Their sole thought and attention has been him since the day they were called. And now they're faced with this thought of life without him. Where is he going that they can't follow him in the future? Do not let your hearts be troubled. I'm sure at least one of the disciples must have been thinking, "Come on, Jesus, give me a break here." But as I studied this text more deeply for this morning's message, I realized this is perhaps one of the most amazing, wonderful, and sweetest things in the Bible. To realize that just hours before Jesus was to be crucified, his concern is for the joy and peace of his followers. Think about it. He's about to be tortured to death by one of the most horrific forms of torture ever devised, yet his burden is for the peace of his followers. I wonder what we would be doing if we knew that not only tomorrow we would die, but we could suffer this death for who knows how long. My guess is we'd be desperate to find our own peace. We probably wouldn't be too concerned about the peace of our friends and family, unless perhaps we are filled with the peace that is Jesus. You see, Jesus knows that his arrest, his trial, his torturous death will upset his disciples. Like a lost child, his disciples are afraid, they're uncertain, confused. And so Jesus says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it as the world gives." In the New Testament, the peace Jesus gives is an unconditional, eternal gift to his followers in every time and place. That's why he does not give peace as the world gives. For the world, peace is often conditional, fragile, temporary, and frequently reduced to mean only the lack of war or strife. And worldly peace always has some kind of strings attached, some kind of conditions. And worldly peace lasts only as long as those conditions are met. However, with Christ's peace, there are no strings attached. There is a wonderful promise that it will last forever. Peace in the New Testament means forgiveness, salvation. Peace is knowing that no matter what troubles may come our way, God promised to never forget us, to always be our helper, always be our strength. He sent his son all the way to die for us in order to reclaim us as his own. He won't give up on us now. We are his most special children. I'd like to share a brief story. After a few of the usual Sunday hymns, the church's pastor slowly stood up, walked over to the pulpit, and before he gave his sermon for the evening, briefly introduced a guest minister who was in the service that evening. In the introduction, the pastor told the congregation that this guest minister was one of his dearest childhood friends, and he wanted him to have a few moments to greet the church and share whatever would be appropriate for that service. With that, an elderly man stepped to the pulpit and began to tell this story. A father, his son, and his son's friend were sailing off the Pacific coast, he began, when a fast approaching storm blocked any attempt to get back to shore. The waves were so high that he couldn't keep the boat upright, even though the father was an experienced and skilled sailor. And the three were swept into the ocean and the boat capsized. The old man hesitated for a moment. He was making eye contact with a couple of teenage boys who were sitting in a pew, and kind of for the first time in the service, they started to look interested. The old minister continued with his story. Grabbing a rescue line, the father had to make the most excruciating decision of his life. To which boy would he throw the end of that lifeline? He only had seconds to make his decision. The father knew that his son was a Christian. He also knew that his son's friend was not. The agony of that decision couldn't even be matched by the torrent of those waves. So as the father yelled out, "I love you, son," he threw the end of the line to the son's friend. And by the time the father had pulled the friend back to the capsized boat, his son had disappeared beneath the raging swells and into the black of night, and his body was never recovered. By this time, those two teenagers were sitting straight up in their pew, anxiously awaiting the words that were going to come out of that old minister's mouth next.
The father, he continued, knew his son would step into eternity with Jesus, and he could not bear the thought of his son's friend not going or going into eternity without Jesus. Therefore, he sacrificed his son to save his son's friend. How great is the love of God that he could do the same for us. Our Heavenly Father sacrificed his only begotten son that we could be saved. I urge you to accept his offer to rescue you and take hold of the lifeline. With that, the old man turned, sat down back in his chair, and silence filled the room. The pastor again walked to the pulpit and delivered a brief sermon with an invitation to the altar at the end. However, no one responded to that appeal, but within minutes, right after that service, those two teenagers were by the old man's side. "That was a nice story," politely said one of the boys, "but I don't think it was very realistic that a father would give up his only son to save his friend just to see if he might become a Christian." "Well, you got a point there," the old man replied, glancing down at his worn Bible. Sorrow began to overtake the old man's smiling face as he once again looked at the boys and said, "It sure isn't very realistic, is it? But I'm here today to tell you that I understand more than most the pain that God must have felt to give up his only son. For you see, I'm the man that lost his son to the ocean that day. And my son's friend that I chose to save is your pastor." Friends, how do you define peace? Do you think of peace as the absence of something negative? The absence of war or strife or fear or anger? And indeed, first definition in the dictionary is peace defined as the freedom from disturbance. But I'd like to suggest that when it comes to Jesus' words to the disciples, I think the dictionary's got it all wrong. Jesus' peace isn't an absence of something, but instead it is its own presence. Jesus' peace is something all on its own. It creates the positive, it makes the wonderful happen. I think Jesus meant that this peace is not something which begins in me or is between you and me. No, I think Jesus would say that this peace begins in God's heart and is simply received as a gift from God's own hands. It's ours to receive. It's ours to cultivate. It's ours to share. But it's not ours to create. I think this is what Jesus meant when he said, "My peace I give to you. I do not give it as the world gives." God's peace to each of you. Amen. I'd ask that our ushers come forward as we sing our hymn song, number 766, "We Come to the Hungry Feast."
Please rise and join me for the offertory prayer found on the bottom of page 4. O God, ruler of heaven and earth, day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to the new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Rooted in abundant life and the love of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, we pray for the life of the church, the lives of people in need, and the life of all creation. Please take a moment for silent prayer. Holy God, ruler of the nations, renew your call to all people. Raise up leaders who are eager to follow you into justice, love, and truth, as the apostles Philip and James did. Hear us, O God. Nourish all lands through springs, rivers, lakes, pools, and irrigation systems. Produce abundant food by the flowing of your Spirit throughout creation. Hear us, O God. Help us to extend your hospitality and inspire us to share the grace of Christ in places near and far. Use even small interactions to usher in peace for all people. Hear us, O God. Send compassionate service to those servants to those who live with health concerns in body, mind, or spirit. Deliver your healing and peace to all in need. Hear us, O God. Bear the burdens of people who long to work yet remain unemployed and underemployed. Give them dignity when they seek help and place them where their gifts may be used. Hear us, O God. You have given blessed salvation to all your saints. Thank you for writing our names also in the book of life. Make us Christ's presence for others while we await his coming. Hear us, O God. We deliver all this into your care, O God, trusting in the work of your Holy Spirit to bring all things into the risen life of Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. On this sixth Sunday after Easter, we celebrate communion using Jesus' words on the night he was betrayed. On that night, Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in the remembrance of me." We're going to need the dipping cup, if someone could get. Thank you. I knew I was missing something there. Thank you. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Please join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This morning we will use intinction, where we dip the wafer into either the juice or the wine. If anyone has gluten intolerance, please ask your server for a gluten-free wafer. At Bethesda, all are welcome to the table of the Lord. Please be seated. Please rise and join me in the prayer after communion found in the middle of page 6. We give you thanks, O God, that you make our homes with us, bringing heaven to earth in this holy meal. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we go from here, that we may wipe away tears, tend to those in mourning and pain, seek the healing of the nations, and bring to earth the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The blessing of the Lord God Almighty, the blessing of Christ, the Lamb who was slain, and the blessing of the Holy Spirit of truth be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Alleluia. Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
So just a reminder, immediately following the closing hymn, we will hold the service. I will greet any guests that don't want to stay or any members that have some commitment, but hopefully we'll have a fairly full sanctuary, and we will try and get through the congregational meeting quickly. Choir, do you want to stay or do you want to? Okay, so the choir will stay as well. Okay, our closing hymn is number 780, What a Fellowship.